Welcome to Salon Nerds Podcast. We do recaps, reviews, and breakdowns of your favorite TV shows and movies.
Yo, 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 it's the Salon Nerds. My name is Dean, a.k.a. Watch the Dean. I'm here, my boy, Chad.
We are an inclusive podcast that focuses on the voices that are ignored. We are all nerds here. Thank you to all our supporters. Like, comment, share, subscribe, and give us a good review.
Yo, 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 Salam Nerds. This is your boy Neebs, aka Watch with Neebs, and I'm not here with my boy Jazz. He is in another castle.
Well, we gotta keep looking.
I know. Oh man, listen. Jazz has some car trouble. I also have some car trouble. We've been struggling with car trouble, man. I was in the rain changing my tire for an hour and a half. I changed my tire. I know. First of all, I got like out of the car to change my tire and everything, right? So this is what happened. Apparently one of the lugs is a special lug that they have for security. And I was like, I couldn't find the key for that lug because it wasn't where all the other stuff was. And apparently my dad had put it in the glove compartment. So I was like looking all over. Finally, I called him. He's like, he's in the glove compartment. So fine. I unscrew all the stuff out. I take the car out. I put the new donut on. Even that's flat. And I'm just like, what the hell? And it's raining. I'm covered in rain. I'm on the floor. It was the worst. And then finally someone came and they gave me their tire. And then I put their tire on. And we went like five blocks. And their tire was flat. Like, it was a hot mess. And then finally I got home. And then as soon as I got here, I took a shower, got ready, got my clothes, and then I got a call from Jazz saying his friend also had the flat tire, and now he has to go rescue them. So Jazz is not here. He's rescuing a princess in another castle.
I feel like bad luck, because this is the first time I'm being on the show, and I'm so the so-called family man.
Yeah, yeah.
The person that won't stop talking about Fast and Furious, and then you're having car trouble. I'm sorry, Neebs.
Man. Yeah, maybe you got us, like, some bad luck came in through your way. That's probably what happened.
I hope not. Hopefully, well, good luck is after this.
I know. Well, what it is what it is, but I want to welcome some of our new guests. I want to introduce Marley. Marley, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm Marley. I go by Marley Loves Film on the internet, just talking about movies pretty much anywhere. I love Fast and Furious, and I just love movies all around. I also host a podcast called The Real Lovers Podcast, and currently I'm watching all of the movies in the Letterboxd Top 250. So that is that's the current series I'm doing right now. So, but yeah, thank you for having me, Neebs.
Marley, your camera is amazing. Look fantastic. You have to give me clues on how you do that.
My DSLR. I just hooked it up.
DSLR. That's legit. I was using the DSLR for a little while too, but I have the DSLR that's connected to a battery pack, so I got to switch it between like episodes. Mm-hmm. So it was a little too much. But yeah, DSLRs are nice. They are nice. April, you don't need no introduction. Mm-hmm. If anyone has watched any of our Bachelor and reality show content, you guys know April. She's been on our show so many times. She is part of the fam. So welcome, April.
Thank you. And in other news, my dad also had a flat tire last week he was trying to look at apartments for us because we're currently moving back to the States and I'm done with grad school. Go me.
Look at you.
I know. And now I want to sleep for 100 years.
As you should. Oh man, let's dive into Super Mario Brothers. All right, because I really had a good time with this film, and I'm figuring let's go around, talk about it without spoilers for maybe like the first 15 minutes, and then we'll dive in and recap what we loved about this episode. So for me, my overall observation was it was a fun time. If you like the movies, if you like all the history, if you like the cartoons, if you like the video games, of course, you're going to enjoy this. So many Easter eggs, so much fun stuff. Not a complicated storyline, pretty simple, but a lot of fun. Some of the voices took me out. Some of the voices, I was actually surprised. I did not mind so much. Some of the voices, I completely loved. And I think it was really, really fun to watch. I have no complaints. I think it's pretty much exactly where I thought it would be. Marley, what about you?
I could echo exactly what you said. I think this is a really great, fun theatrical experience. It was probably one of my favorite like theater going experiences like so far this year. I grew up playing Mario like on the NES, like the original, and my favorite one is Super Mario World. And yeah. I think like the common complaint that I've been hearing about like this movie is that there's no story. But if you go back at the games don't really have a lot of story.
They don't.
So it's like, it's all about just kind of like having a good time and just Mario just at the end of the world saving the day. And even like the little touches that, I guess we can get into spoilers with that, but like the little touches that they did add, I thought were notable and I really enjoyed it. So.
Same. I really, really loved it. And I know exactly what you're talking about. Because there's something like the little noises, the little like 2D where they go into 2D mode. I think a lot of that was so much fun. April, what about you? What are your thoughts?
I grew up on the original NES and I remember like playing it with my dad. And so it was just so much fun going back and the nostalgia piece. My inner child was so happy.
I totally get it.
The theater that we went to, like, everyone had a really good time. All the kids enjoyed it. All the adults enjoyed it, which I feel like is pretty rare when it comes to a children's film.
Right.
It was just, it's very colorful. Like, the story isn't that complicated, but it's, to me, the story is just the introduction of this world. And even if you haven't played the games or watched the TV series from the late 80s, early 90s, you can easily follow along.
That is very true. That is very true. We got some people in the comments right here. Let's kind of share what they got. I don't know. Some of these comments are pretty wild.
Hello.
Ron says hello. This one is pretty funny. Nope, won't be watching this movie because it doesn't have enough LGBT themes in this, plus it's not diverse enough, needs more POCs. I mean, Mario is an Italian plumber from Brooklyn, but he's also Japanese, technically.
He is a Japanese representation of what Japanese people think Italian people are, people from Brooklyn, Italian Brooklyns are.
Mario and Bowser don't have a... Whoa, some of these comments are really crazy. I don't think that's the kind of relationship you want in this movie. But listen, it does have a great theme because the theme of this movie is actually consent. If you think about it, you're taking a princess to a castle and trying to marry her off without her permission. That is a very good moral story about this, all right? Maybe there's not a lot of diversity, but, you know, I still see it. Although, you know, most of the people in here are Goombas and Turtles and all types of stuff. We got Keegan-Michael Keele being Toad. I don't know. I think there is room for improvement. It's not the hill I want to die on. I'm just here to enjoy this movie. And I think those are valid complaints that people have, especially in our comments, because we love everybody in our comment section. But I could see there being room for improvements. And I think if people, you know, really like this movie and it does really well, I can see them making more efforts on that part, for sure. For sure. Diversity is always something that we will champion, obviously.
I think the funniest thing that I saw about Bowser in this movie, it was a tweet that I saw, and someone said that, oh, Bowser's the original incel.
Oh, that's good.
Or the joke that I added in there, the original in shell.
Oh, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. Oh, that is so funny. We got Toya in that she just joined. She says she loved the movie. Absolutely, man. I totally agree, man. He is an in shell. But I got to say, I cannot get that song out of my brain. Peaches, yes. peaches.
Like, peaches.
You know what I've seen? I've seen people doing like squats and like exercises, and all they do is like show their butt and they go peaches. One of my favorite trends these days, I would say. Wait for mine to come out. Let me hit a few squats. Anything to get views, guys. Anything to get views. Oh, just right. Kidding. Just kidding. No, it was really, really funny. So let's, okay. So overall, we gave our thoughts. One of the thoughts was we liked it. We had expectations for it. Not overly complicated plot. Some room for diversity, but overall, a great time. When you can go to a movie and you can enjoy it as kids and you can enjoy it as adults, that's a win. That's always going to be a win. Do you think it's better than Sonic? Because in my opinion, I think it falls short for Sonic, actually, to be honest with you. What about you, Marley?
I think I was kind of thinking about this a little bit after seeing it. Why am I blurry? Oh, there we go. I don't know why it...
There you go.
He's Bowser in the background. It's like...
Bowser trying to come in the background.
I think it's a totally different, like, type of film. Like, Sonic is... Like, obviously, like, it's animated and live action. Mario is, like, fully animated. And I feel like they're doing two completely different things. I think that they're both entertaining in their own right. And I think I enjoy Mario just a little bit more. But I do enjoy, like, Sonic 2 a little bit more than the Mario movie. That makes sense. It's kind of like, yeah. I enjoy both of them because I understand, like, what they're doing. So...
That is a good point. One is half live action, half, you know, video game, and the other is all video game. It is a little bit of apple and peaches, if you know what I'm saying. Yeah. April, what about you? What are your thoughts about like Sonic and other video games compared to Super Mario?
I mean, first of all, the irony is that we saw the first Sonic movie right before the pandemic started.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think this was the first movie we saw in theaters after the pandemic. So in retrospect, like both movies work in their own regard, like Marley said. Mm-hmm. And I think like Sonic just had a little more, not a mature tone to it. And it's not digging on the Mario movie where, oh, it's so childish. No, it's I don't know how to describe the vibe, but they were both so enjoyable. And for me, we'll get into it in a little bit, like Jim Carrey as Dr. Robotnik.
Oh, yeah.
Iconic.
Yeah.
And then iconic. Jack Black as Bowser.
Iconic. Also iconic. Damn, these video games have done a really good job with their villain casting. Those are two solid villains. And I got to say, Jack Black, like, carried this movie. Like,
yes.
He carried this movie. Hero. Without a doubt. And I was actually I was pretty surprised with Chris Pratt. I thought I was not going to like Chris Pratt as Mario, but he was not that bad. He wasn't bad at all to me. What about your thoughts, Marley?
I think Chris Pratt was fine. And I feel like what the movie did to kind of like work around like his voice was the fact, like what it did at the very beginning, like kind of like calling back like to the old, like Mario Brothers, like, Super Show, like with the commercial, and how this movie threw in generational trauma a little bit about are you doing like a fake Italian accent or something like that? I like how it's kind of like the movie kind of knew like, hey, we understand that Chris Pratt isn't necessarily like everyone's choice,
right?
But we're trying, okay? But I don't know. I appreciated that a lot with the. Like his whole family moment where they're kind of like poking fun at him and just kind of like why can't you be a real Italian and stuff like that. It was it definitely hit a little bit too close to home there, because it's almost like every single animated movie has to have some sort of generational trauma like aspect in it, and now Mario has it. But
Yeah, no fair. We got some comments right here. 20 said, my theater was filled with kids and they clapped at the end, which is awesome. Love to see that. She still thinks Sonic is a little better and Sonic 2 was better, but Sonic 2 was better. Mario was better than Sonic 1. Ooh, interesting. I actually like Sonic 1 better, so that's pretty interesting. Okay.
I think Sonic has the better story.
Yeah.
Because Mario is really, like I said, Mario is just there to kind of show you, like, all, like, the hits that you know from Mario.
Yeah.
It's not really, like, it's not really doing anything, like out there. And Sonic was kind of, like it took a little bit more risks than
for
Mario
sure.
did. But
I do think we need, I do think that we could have used a little more Luigi in this movie. April, what are your thoughts on that?
I love Charlie Day so much, and yeah. I feel that they did him just a little dirty because we didn't have enough Charlie Day.
That is true.
And he was perfect as Luigi.
But does that mean maybe they were saving him for the sequel?
Oh,
Luigi's
God,
Haunted
so.
Mansion? Little spinoff?
I hope.
Yes.
I need.
Right, that right. should be like a Disney Plus. Well, I don't think it would be on Disney
no,
Plus.
No, it wouldn't
be. It would
be
like a show, Luigi's Mansion like show.
Oh, yeah.
I would be down for like an 8-episode like miniseries.
Very true. All right, guys, we are at the halfway point. So from this point on, we are going to talk about spoilers. So if you have not seen it, you would drop a like, give us a great recommendation, and come back right after you have, you know, successfully given us 5 stars or 4 stars or whatever the most stars are. Get that. It's like Mario Party. You know, whoever has the most stars win. Yes. We want to get the most stars.
Smash that like button.
Smash that like button. Hit that subscribe.
Hit that bell.
We need it so bad. We're making money off these now. So we need your, like, half of your 3 cents. That's how it is. All right. So in the beginning of the show, they show them in 2D going up and down all of these things. I thought the 2D part was awesome. I love that part. That part really cracked me up because the original games are in 2D, and I feel like they got a way to really encompass that. What are your thoughts on the 2D portion of the movie?
I liked it a lot just because it kind of just showed you like how they kind of went from point A to point B. And
right.
It was like, and also just like the way they remix the old, like, music into like orchestral like music for like films. And the original music producer Koji Kondo, like he worked on the score with Brian Tyler, I think.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
which is really cool. I have some issues with some of the music choices in this movie, but we'll get into that a little bit later.
I hope it's not the No Sleep Till Brooklyn part.
It's not.
Okay.
But
I like the No Sleep Till Brooklyn Beastie Boys reference.
That's not really... do you want me to just mention which song?
Yeah, go for it.
It's the Take On Me. Like,
oh, okay, Take On Me.
Do we really need, like, an aha Take On... Like, I understand it's Illumination, and Illumination has to have, like, their hit songs, or their hit songs from the 80s,
sure.
Like, songs, like, just thrown in there to kind of make the parents, like, happy, and like, hey, I remember that song when I was a kid, and my kids are listening to this right now. But when that song comes up, I was just like, you could have just put in, like, a Donkey Kong song in there. That would be...
Yeah.
That would have been, like, from Diddy Kong Racing or something like that. Like, that would have been, like, I don't know. It was...
The Donkey Kong... They did throw in the Donkey Kong rap, though. That was thrown in there, which I thought was pretty good.
Which they did not credit the artist for.
No way! Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's lame.
Lame.
I think, like, the artist went on Twitter and said something... Like it said something like after saying like, oh, it would have been nice to been appreciated, and I'm like, well, that sucks.
That does suck. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the internet will do his thing though. The internet will make sure he gets his like credit.
Nintendo is very infamous for like kind of like for like even like their older games when they remaster them, they kind of forget the people that actually like started it. And but I don't know. That's just kind of Nintendo in a nutshell.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Let's see. And then we got Mario being tested by Princess Peach when she's going through the gauntlet. And we discover that eating a mushroom makes you, you know, bigger. And Mario doesn't like mushrooms. What are the odds of that? April, what are your thoughts about Mario and his mushroom?
I thought it was a really nice touch because, you know, throughout all the years of the Mario franchise and how you have to eat a mushroom in order to power up.
Yep.
I'm like, that's kind of a nice touch that he doesn't like mushrooms, but he has to eat them.
I know. He felt a little nauseous taking them over and over again. But I did like the fact that there was basically a training montage. We got a training montage on Super Mario with Princess Peach and Mario. What are your thoughts on that, Marley?
I liked it a lot, but when I was watching it in the theater, I was just like, know what? The dude bros are probably going to hate this because Peach is the one training Mario at this point. Peach is the one that's already the hero. She doesn't need any saving. And I'm just like, know what? This is the dude bros. They're getting their podcast mics out. They'd be like,
oh no,
Mario gone woke. And I'm like, what? And then we're just in their comments is like, what's that mean? Just leave.
No, but it's actually the opposite. The movie had done so well. And like the people were like, here's why the movie did so well. It had no agenda. It had no wokeness. It was just regular Mario. And people are like, what? Did you not see the same movie? Like, I think it was one of those guys, Tucker Carlson or the short Jewish guy. I forgot his name because I tried to block it out of my memory.
Ben Shapiro.
Ben Shapiro, that's the one. Damn, thought I had it completely.
I'm sorry, I ruined everything.
It was one of them. And they were talking about how this is how you need to do a movie, you know, no agenda. And I'm like, yeah, there's all over. There's agendas all over this movie. So you probably just missed it. All right. What are your thoughts on Donkey Kong? So Donkey Kong is usually one of my favorite because when I was a little kid, I used to call him Donkey Kong because my last name is Khan, and I had no, so that's what I used to go by. And for that, I loved him. And I really love the Donkey Kong games. And he's one of my favorite Super Mario Kart characters. What are your thoughts on him? Marley, you want to go for this one?
Well, he's voiced by Seth Rogen.
Seth, obviously. Which, really? I couldn't tell.
I like Donkey Kong a lot. He's one of my favorite characters, but there's something about him being voiced by Seth Rogen that kind of rubbed me the wrong way a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially at the shot, because it happened, like, Donkey Kong, it's in the trailer, but Donkey Kong and Mario are fighting, and then basically, Donkey Kong basically, like, kicks Mario's ass for like,
yeah.
Oh, can I curse or sorry?
Yeah, you can curse.
Yeah, but I kind of just blurted out. But there's something that the camera zoomed in on Donkey Kong, and then he laughs, and Seth Rogen's laugh came out of Donkey Kong. That just kind of like shook me. like in the most disturbing way possible, like when that happened, I was like, oh my god, Seth Rogen is Seth Rogen just like Donkey Kong ate Seth Rogen or something like that. It was just really weird.
I totally get what you're saying, but here's the thing, I'm not mad at Seth Rogen about this because apparently Seth Rogen came out of interviews and he told him when they asked him to do this, he's like, all right guys, I don't do voices, so it's just going to be me sounding like Donkey Kong. Are you okay with that? And they were fine with that. And he tried to warn them. He's like, are you sure you guys want this? So I'm not mad at Seth Rogen because, you know, that was Nintendo's decision, DreamWorks' decision, whoever it was. So I'm okay with that. But I did love when they did the whole Mario Kart stuff. I thought that was really fun. We got to see Rainbow Road, and we got to see all of these really, really cool little Easter eggs, including my favorite, the blue shell. April, what are your thoughts about that?
Oh, my childhood of owning everyone at Mario Kart 64 came back to my memory. No, it was fantastic. Again, I'm a person who needs, like, really colorful stimulation visuals, so it was, this sequence was very enjoyable.
Yeah I really like that. What are your thoughts about it, Marley?
I thought it looked like Mad Max come to Mario Kart, which was absolutely incredible. I wish there was a little bit more to it like that. I'm kind of in that same camp where I like the lack of story, but I did kind of want like a little bit more there, where they just kind of get in carts and be like, oh, we gotta like drive carts to the next destination. I'm like, why are you doing that and stuff like that? It's like, I was fine with it, but in a way it felt a little random, but
right.
I was
like,
still
they just
having
needed
a good time.
Like they just needed an excuse to do it. Mm-hmm. I do like the blue, I mentioned the blue turtle shell. Somebody told me the way the blue turtle shell works, or Mario Kart works, is basically the further along you're in Mario Kart, like the more closer you're up to player one, the less useful tools you get. The further back you are, the more useful tools you get. Mm-hmm. And people were like, isn't that how the economy should work? That's what we should be doing and how we should be running a country. Wherever you have people who need more stuff, they should be getting more stuff. They're in the back. They're the people who need that. And the people in the front should not be getting all these tax cuts and should not be getting all of these privileges. And someone came out with this saying, it's called Blue Shell the Rich, which I think is amazing. I love it.
Well, clearly our representatives need to play more Mario Kart in their spare time so they can drill these practices into their head. So,
Yep. That's awesome. Oh, we got another comment. I want to make sure we read him. Salam, now this movie can defiantly set up a Nintendo cinematic universe. If that's the case, Nintendo characters can come. Ooh. So, Yoshi. I think Yoshi's definitely going to come. But a Nintendo cinematic universe would definitely include Metroid, maybe. I could see that. I wouldn't mind if they actually made a Duck Hunt movie. That would be hilarious.
Dude, there was a trailer before the movie started playing and it was ducks and I'm like, is this Duck Hunt?
Oh my god.
And then it wasn't. And I was so mad.
That would be so funny. Marley, what are your thoughts? What character would you see?
I'm glad that you mentioned Yoshi because Yoshi was sorely absent from the Mario movie for some reason. It's like that, especially when you have when you have Chris Pratt playing Mario.
Right.
You have Chris Pratt in Jurassic World, Owen Brady and Blue. It's like Yoshi and Mario. It seems like those two should go hand in hand. But to answer your question, like another character, I think the obvious is Link.
Oh,
yes. Zelda.
Everyone says they want live action, but Illuminations did such a good job with the animation for Mario. I would love to have even if they did like a cel shaded like kind of Wind Waker like movie, mm-hmm. I would be totally down with that. And I would be down with like Illumination just doing all of like the Nintendo movies going forward because they did such like a great job. And I can't imagine like what the animators were like thinking like working on a project like this because they probably grew up playing Mario and they're like, I'm animating like the newest Mario movie. I think that's really great. So
it is really good. But Sonic is also a Nintendo character now, even though he was Sega before. Sega is still part of, so we can see a crossover, and we've seen him in the games. We've definitely seen them, Mario Tennis with Sonic and stuff like that. So I wouldn't be surprised.
There's did you see like that leak on it wasn't a leak, but people were talking about how the Mario movie kind of starts like the Nintendo Cinematic Universe, and it leads up to a Smash Brothers movie.
Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much close to what we saw Mario and Donkey Kong doing. That was like a Super Smash Brothers event right there.
Yeah. I think that would be insane. It would be like Nintendo's Avengers.
Pikachu will be there. So many characters would be there. That would be really cool.
Well, you have Detective Pikachu already.
So. Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Great movie.
I did like the part where we saw what are some of the favorite characters that you guys think? There were the bullets. I don't even know their names, to be honest with you, because it's been such a long time. But who was that character that was in the cage? Because he was saying some dark stuff. I have no idea. That was my favorite character. This little, like, illuminated star or whatever he was. I don't even know if that was the Mario character because I've never seen him. But he was wild. What was that?
That's a Luma from Super Mario Galaxy. They're like the little side characters. And that character was like a millennial, like, reanimated into the Mario movie.
That character was unhinged.
Yes, unhinged. Great. It needs a tick. I need a TikTok account from Luma.
Oh my god, that's so funny. Oh man, that is good. There was another thing that I saw in the movie, it was the story of Mario saving Luigi all over again. Mario saved Luigi, Mario saved Luigi. And we got to see Luigi finally end up saving Mario. Do you think they did a good job with that, or do you think it didn't build up enough? Like, what are your thoughts about that? Marley, you want to go?
I thought it, because the games have always been about just like Mario saves Peach.
Yeah.
And Peach is in another castle. I think that having Peach and Mario team up to save Luigi was actually really nice. And then at the end, like, Luigi's kind of they all come together as a family, which I'm a huge fan of.
Yeah, yeah.
Hashtag family. And
#family.
Yeah, family.
I like the whole brotherhood that they explored, like, in the Mario movie. It's really great.
So I really, really liked it. And I love the fact that, like, we got to see the star. I knew we were going to see the star. Bowser had the star from the beginning. We got to see the Mario Brothers use it. And then you got to see the music and the da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, it was great. And you got to see their family see it, too, and finally appreciate them. And the whole town of Brooklyn got to appreciate them. It was really, really cool. I really enjoyed that. I think they did a great job. April, what are your thoughts of the ending?
So a core memory of mine from when I was really little was actually unlocked during this sequence, because, you know, Jack Black, who did a fantastic job voicing it, but they also used the sound effects of Bowser from, like, the early games during sequence. When I was little, like 2 years old, playing NES with my dad, as soon as he got to the Bowser Castle, I would run around the corner and hide until I would hear da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, yay, Dad did it. Now we can continue on. So when Bowser's just,
yeah,
I wanted to run out of the theater. Like, no, I can't handle this.
Oh, man, that's so funny. It was a lot of core memories for a lot of people in this movie. I do think so. I do think that. Let's say we got some more comments. I think they did, having them both be Bowser than just Mario was nice. Yeah, I do agree, Ron. That was really good.
And like, go ahead, Marley. Having them both beat, like, Bowser is kind of like a, I'm not sure if anyone's played the Mario and Luigi, like, Bowser's Inside Story for, like, for Nintendo DS. It was kind of like a callback to, like, to that. And there's just so many, like, references to, like, all of the Mario games. It wasn't just, like, NES. It was just, like, we have, like, Lumalee.
special guest. I'm so sorry.
Special guest appearance by the cat.
But, like, you have Lumalee from Super Mario Galaxy. Then you have this Bowser's Inside Story. It's, like, if you're a fan of Mario, like, all together, like, movie, like, the TV shows, the games, like, there's something here for you.
Yeah, we got the raccoon suit. We got, like, the fireballs. We got everything. It was really, really cool to see. So I'm really, really happy about it. All right, let's go around the table and final thoughts of the movie, and then we can wrap this up. April, you want to go first?
Well, we didn't really talk too much about Jack Black, but I brought in my Bowser.
Oh, cat. Nice. Love it.
Yay.
I went to the Comic-Con where Jack Black was there, and Jack Black was like, his interpretation of Bowser was a professional wrestler meets a rock star. And that's how he portrayed him. And I thought that was pretty, pretty funny.
I loved him so much.
I think he's everybody's favorite. Marley, what are your thoughts?
I just love that. Like, obviously, we knew that, like as soon as Jack Black was playing, like, Bowser, that there was going to be some sort of, like, School of Rock or Tenacious D kind of, like, influences, because that's what Jack Black is all about. Like, he has to be singing. He has to have, like, this sort of, like fun, like, metal, like, attitude to him. And, like, Jack Black brought that, like, 100%. I think it, like, he's, like, my favorite part of, like, this entire movie. And this movie's just a blast. And it's kind of, like, it's kind of great that we're doing this episode today, because the Mario movie just passed, like, $1 billion.
$1 billion.
$1 billion.
Wow. Were we ever surprised? That was because Nintendo just prints money at this point. For sure. It's just,
Can we also applaud Fred Armisen as Kamek?
Yes, that was really, really good.
Like, when Bowser was practicing his proposal speech in the castle, and then it cuts to Kamek, who's in drag as Princess Peach. I was like, yes, this movie is woke. I love it.
Exactly. People are missing the point. But also, I want to say, Michael Keegan Key, he was also amazing in this as Toad, because every word out of Toad's mouth had me dying. And he did such a good job of making his voice like that, where I was like, I couldn't even tell it was him. And I loved him. I thought Toad did such a great job, and it was really funny. And I think I want to see more of him in the next movie. I hope Toad gets a little. I wouldn't mind if Toad got his own spinoff, to be honest with you, because that was really funny.
I would love it. Yeah. I'd watch it.
I also just like when Mario first drops into like the world and meets Toad, like the little callback where Toad says, "Don't touch that mushroom," and it was like a blue mushroom, and
there's
a poisonous. I thought that was like a nice little callback too, and like not trying to be like a Debbie Downer. I thought it. I don't know. Out of all the like the performances, I really like Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah, she did a great job.
I thought she did a great job, but I think I just expected a little bit more from her. Mainly because I just finished watching The Menu, and she was really great in that. And I don't know. I think I was just expecting something a little bit different from her, but she still did a great job.
No, like a cheeseburger. It's like, oh, you know, I love that movie. No, that's good. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show. We love having you guys. Marley, before you go, let people know where they can find you.
You could follow me on TikTok, Instagram, Letterboxd, YouTube with the handle at Marley Loves Film. You can listen to my podcast, The Real Lovers Podcast, anywhere you listen to podcasts, and follow me along with the series that I'm doing on there, where I'm watching all of the Letterboxd top 250 movies. And thanks for having me on, Neebs. This was fun.
No problem. Spell that out for our audience, because some of them might be on Spotify and they probably can't. What is it called again?
The Real Lovers Podcast. Real, R-E-E-L, Lovers Podcast. And
I wanted to make sure, because it could be R-E-A-L, so I wanted to make sure it was the right one. All right, well, thank you so much for joining us in April. Obviously, we love having you. You're always welcome here.
Thank you.
Luckily, we got a little break from our sanity. No reality shows for a little while. Still a lot of reality show drama happening, though. Lots of stuff happening. But you know what? Maybe we'll cover that once I get back from Pakistan. For those of you that don't know, we will be going on a 3-week break starting next Saturday, because I will be going to Pakistan and hiking the Himalayas for 3 weeks.
Ooh.
So that will be fun. If I don't come back, that means I died. So hopefully.
Do I get your inheritance?
Yeah. If I die, you can take over as co-host, April.
Yes. I did it, everyone.
It'll be you and Jazz.
Okay.
Don't die, Neebs.
Please don't. We like you.
Yes, please send your prayers my way. But thank you, everybody, for joining us. And until next time, guys, salam, nerds.
Bye.
Bye.